President Trump will hold a news conference on coronavirus at 6 p.m. Eastern Time tonight as concerns grow about whether the White House is doing all it can to tackle the outbreak. Joining us now is Mark Harvey. Until last month, he was Senior Director for Resilience Policy on the National Security Council. He's now a resident fellow at Harvard University's Institute of Politics. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you worked on the government's strategy to respond to this coronavirus outbreak until recently. What is the plan? What is the government's strategy?
So the most important thing to know is that we've had preparedness measures in place for a very long time. So as recently as last August even, the Department of Health and Human Services sponsored an exercise to test the government-wide preparedness for a scenario almost exactly like this. So our plan starts out with, even when there's nothing going on, make sure that we are testing our capabilities and that they are up to par for anything that might challenge us. And that actually informs us. We're taking lessons from that, or the government is now taking lessons from that and applying it to coronavirus.
See, that's interesting to hear because many people are looking at the response by the government and saying it doesn't look like they have a plan. Let's listen to something that happened yesterday. This is the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf, struggling to provide facts about the virus when he was questioned by Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana.
Sorry, I don't understand the question. Head of Homeland Security, do we have enough respirators or not?
For patients? I don't understand the question.
For everybody, every American who needs one who gets the disease.
Again, I would refer you to HHS on that.
Mr. Secretary,
you're
supposed to keep us safe.
My budget supports the men and women
you're
of the Department
Secretary
of Homeland Security.
You're the Secretary of Homeland Security.
Yes, sir.
And you can't tell me if we have enough respirators.
Should people be worried when they hear that?
They shouldn't. And in fact, Acting Secretary Wolf said one of the most important things there was that the Department of Health and Human Services is in charge here. So they are leading the government-wide response. The HHS, with CDC as a part of it, has, even before any cases arrived in the United States, been working with the World Health Organization and understanding how this disease is propagated. Once cases did arrive in the U.S., they started doing genetic testing on the actual cases so that they could better understand the virus. One of the challenges for HHS has been China's lack of information sharing. It's been far too slow and not necessarily forthcoming with samples of the disease so that we can better understand it.
What about these doctors that are young who are dying from coronavirus in China? There was a 29-year-old just the other day.
And that goes into the specific risk for various populations that you have here. So overall in the population, we see that it disproportionately impacts the older. But as with any outbreak or any epidemic, you'll see that the medical community is going to be highly at risk because of their high contact with infected patients.
China has locked down cities, as you know. Spain has locked down a hotel. Italy has quarantines. If coronavirus were to show up, or COVID-19 were to show up in a big way in the U.S., would the government ever lock down a city?
That would be a very extreme measure. It would take a lot of alarm for us to actually get there. And that's why it's most important to prepare and not panic. And that's why you saw CDC come out yesterday and start talking about companies should dust off their plans for how to do social distancing and what their business continuity plans are, that individuals should start thinking about contacting the school systems, and school systems should understand what their plans are. That way you can help slow the spread of the disease and also manage it better as it does start to impact different communities.
You were involved with the response to the Ebola outbreak as well, right?
Yes.
Does this one scare you more or less than that one?
Less. There are two very, very different diseases. Ebola was very hard to transmit and very deadly once you got it. In this case, you have something that is much easier to transmit, but not appreciably deadlier or have a higher fatality rate. So we see something here that's akin more to regular cold and flu than with Ebola, which was a drastic disease.
There's a tweet for everything from President Trump, and we found some tweets that he put out there during the Ebola outbreak. He said, "Why would anybody trust our government to handle this crisis?" He tweeted, "The U.S. cannot allow Ebola-infected people back into the United States. People that go to faraway places to help out are great, but must suffer the consequences." And he said, "Ebola patients will be brought to the U.S. in a few days. Now I know for sure that our leaders are incompetent. Keep them out of here," all caps, exclamation point. He's going to speak to the nation tonight in a news conference. What would your advice be to him about how to communicate about this coronavirus?
First thing is that risk communication in an outbreak at the outset is paramount, and the president himself doesn't have to do that. What he really needs to do is articulate the concerns of the nation. And right here, it's very important to say, remain calm. This is not a time to panic. You see something that is new and that is somewhat unknown, and that's disconcerting. But we have a huge public health community that is working toward this. They understand the actual disease itself. They understand how it propagates. And we have a number of preparedness measures that are in place that we can utilize if this even starts to get bad, because in the United States, we're still at fewer than 60 cases right now.
But he's also under pressure not to sugarcoat the situation.
Absolutely. And I wouldn't say that it's sugarcoating the situation to talk about exactly where we are and the preparedness measures we have in place. We should also be upfront with the American people that as this propagates around the world, we'll start to see some disruptions to supply chains. I think that's probably some of what's been concerning to Wall Street in the last couple of days. And that's where businesses, again, should look at their business continuity plans, start talking to their suppliers, and start to understand how they can change their suppliers if they need.
That is Mark Harvey, who is former special assistant to the president and senior director for resilience policy on the National Security Council, now a resident fellow at Harvard's Institute of Politics. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.